All right. Hello, tile friends. Welcome back to another episode of the Tile Money Podcast. My name is Luke Miller, your host. I am super excited for today's episode. We've got another great interview. We're going to be interviewing Adam Christensen with Advanced Flooring out of Kansas City area. And he has been recently working a lot with GPTP gauge panel tile, you know, gauge porcelain tile panels. So that's a mouthful at times. So before we bring him on, I want to thank my sponsors. I want to thank the NTCA, the National Tile Contractors Association, for sponsoring this podcast and Tile Money. And I want to also thank Laticrete International. Laticrete is a great company, very, very family oriented company, and they're doing it right. You know, they practically invented thinset right here in America, right here in the United States. What a great company. So show, if you appreciate Tile Money, show some love to Laticrete and the NTCA. If you don't know about the National Tile Contractors Association, I would highly recommend you check it out. Mike Seema, good to see you, buddy. We're going to be talking about the workshop. You know, Mike Seema just had held a workshop, some training in his shop, and Adam was there. So we're going to definitely talk about that a little bit. We're going to get into the importance of relationships. We're going to get into handling these thin panels, the tools that Adam is using. We're going to get into the crew Adam is using, you know, the size. He's been doing some, you know, contracting some water jets to cut, and that's making his life easier. And then also, of course, like I said, we're going to talk about training. All these questions and more, I know it was just by coincidence, I had just scheduled this and somebody in GPT was asking about tools, tooling up. So this is great timing. And this is, by the way, a topic I'm going to be talking about more and more because, you know, Adam is over there in Kansas City and he is just, you know, kind of getting started, has about a dozen jobs under his belt with these thin panels. But obviously he has his advanced flooring store and his flooring crew going, and he is just getting hit up for work more and more. I mean, he's right now, he's joining us from Des Moines, Iowa, and doing a job there. So Adam's got a great thing going here. Let's bring him on. Hi, Adam. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good, Luke. How are you doing?
Doing good. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you tell some of the folks that aren't familiar with you just a little bit about your background, your flooring store, where you're at, and kind of the size of your business, things like that.
I've stayed small. So we had a showroom and a warehouse at one point in time, but I kind of went away from that because I was just spending way too much money, too much overhead for, you know, what we were doing out of it business-wise. So I basically moved everything into two trailers and operate out of the house. I use my tile showrooms and my other flooring store showrooms as my showrooms, and all the designers, you know, they know me. So when a customer comes in, you know, they do a pick list for me and they send it over to me via email and makes it really easy. So it's that's how we've operated. Now, as far as crew size, right now it's just me and my two guys. And as we need people, I bring other people on that are local in the area. I have another big job where we're bringing some out-of-state guys in. That's going to help, and it's going to be a pretty cool job that we start next month. So it's just kind of one of those things. We keep it small, but we use every asset that's available to us to be successful.
Yeah. It sounds like you're building a lot of relationships. Now, tell us kind of what got you started, your interest. How did you get started with GPTP? And before, I apologize, Mike, I always thought it was Seema. He says it's Seema. I don't know.
Yeah, that's something I think he's gotten. I don't understand it either. So that's a nickname, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, we're not sure. All right. We're going to roll with it. I mean, if he's telling us to call him Seema, that's what we'll call him. And listen, guys, there's about 16, 17 of you watching right now. If you have comments or questions for Adam or myself, put them up in the comments wherever you're watching this, YouTube or Facebook, and I will be able to see them and talk to you about questions or whatever. So we want to get into tools, handling, and all that. But what kind of was the start? What piqued your interest in this? Because this is a completely different animal from, you know, flooring.
Yeah, no, it is. So it all started with a partnership with Ardex. my rep local Kansas City guy, Jason, he had approached me and said, "Hey, you know, we're doing some tile and stone classes down in Mansfield, Texas. You know, I'd like you to come down." Just met the guy. He became a valuable asset. So I went down there and took the class. I had another guy that he worked for me for a little bit, took him down there. He went back to another flooring store in town, but we went down there and it really got me interested in it, because I saw the potential of the type of money you can make doing it. And that really, you know, piqued my interest, because it's almost a less is more type thing. Mm-hmm. It's you're installing six panels, but there are six pieces of tile, which could be six panels or six very large pieces of tile cut down. Mm-hmm. And you're making anywhere from, you know, $35 to $45 a foot. On the regular, at least that's what I'm getting in my area. And that's, you know, that's one of those things with pricing. I find it sickening when people charge in the $15 range, because they're out there doing it. So, yeah. And that's not good for us now. Because I've learned with on the fabricator side of the world, working with them, they get four times the amount in labor. So we should be charging that. And that's where we can get into that one job that I got going on next week. We'll talk a little bit about that, because there's quite a bit there. But really, Ardex got me involved in it. It was a decked in training that they did down there in thin panel. Daniel Grant down there, he held the class. And it was one of those things. I just saw it as something, the next challenge, you know, and I like to be challenged. And it was something that, you know, I feel like that we're starting to get a really good grip on. You know, it's not becoming challenging anymore, because we're figuring out how to do it all. So it's fun.
That's cool. So yeah. you kind of got over that hump. Since you mentioned pricing and the business aspect, let's jump into that. Somebody's here from Melbourne. Hi, nice to see you. I'm not sure who it is, but good to have you here from Melbourne, Australia. Very cool. You mentioned fabricators are charging, did you say three or four times what the materials cost for labor?
Well, so basically I got a couple guys that do $1,000 a panel, and you know, they cut a panel down in their saw and it becomes a quarter of that panel. They're still charging $1,000 to install it. So when you work it out to the square foot price, sometimes it's $75 to $85 just a square foot for installation, and somewhere in the upwards of $105. So it all kind of depends on the size of the panel. Today, like what we installed, we did, you know, close to 100 square foot, and there was probably, you know, close to $4,500 there today. Mm-hmm. So it's $45 a foot.
Yeah.
So, and that's about where, because I'm a sub on this, that's about where I'd want to be. But, in my personal jobs, I'm quoting $55 to $65 a foot. And it just kind of depends on the material and the thickness we're working with as well. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
It's the relationship that we have that we keep doing these jobs, and it's just one of those cool things. Yeah. But as far as pricing, we got to keep it high. At Mike Shima's workshop, there's a guy that was telling me, you know, he was doing $15 a foot on the floor and 25 on the walls, and doing miters and not charging, but $5 or $10 a linear foot for miters. And that's just way too cheap.
Yeah.
Especially in a residential situation, because residential, you know, if you're doing all that hand fabricating on site, you should be a lot more money than that, and doing that quality of a work. Yeah. So you can't be a race to the bottom, because of course you're going to get all the jobs, mm-hmm. you know, and it's not right. And you got to charge more, because if you break a panel, $15 a foot might not cover the cost of the material. You know, there's some material that's $23 a foot cost.
Yeah.
And so you got to make money on both ends of it, on the material side, and then on the labor side, you got to be able to replace a panel with your labor, you know, and still come out with maybe $2-3 a foot, you know, if it's a wash,
yeah.
but at least the job's done, you know, but you have one of those things that risk reward factor. Yeah. So you just got to see what it's at.
Well, you also have a higher tool cost. So your risk is higher. You have a higher tool cost, tooling up. And then we didn't even really talk about the prep. The prep is essentially, is the prep essentially the same as a normal shower, for instance, would be?
I mean, you want everything flat. You want it to be, you don't want to have any deviations in the substrate whatsoever. Sure. So, you know, if you're going over a foam system, you got to do all that on the studs, you know, depending on what system, if you can wet shim or not. But like, for instance, the shower we're doing now, it was installed properly. It's flat. There were some things we had to correct here and there, with some banding, which we did, but the guy really nailed it on the prep because everything's flat. So it made today really easy for what we did. But if you have to go in and do prep, if it's concrete board, perma-base, and you got to float it with a, you know, lightweight mud, you know, make it nice. And I know both, I use Arctic AIM-100 a lot on that. I got a ladder creek product that I'm going to try on some stuff. But I think, you know, you got to know how to do all that stuff. Yeah. And that's the biggest learning curve, is learning all the proper prep, and what you can use, and, you know, where you should use what. Mm-hmm. So, and that's just as much as a learning curve as, you know, learning how to handle it and cut it and fab it as well. Mm-hmm. So
your price that you quoted earlier, like around 40 a foot, that's just handling and installing the panel. That wasn't shower prep, really.
Does that include
the thin set? Because I know the thin set is expensive also. That doesn't include the material. That's just handling. That's just labor.
That's just labor alone. I charge for the cost of the material plus a little bit on top for, you know, getting it from point A to B. So we got a markup there. And then, you know, we only buy premium stuff. So we're not going to skimp out on that. There's no need for that. Not mm-hmm. with when you're dealing with what you're dealing with. Mm-hmm.
We've got our first question from Joseph Lambert on big methodical jobs. How do you charge for measuring the proper amount of material needed on your bid when people might say you're too expensive, a whole day being wasted, for example? That's all I can read. I don't know if there's more.
Yeah. So it depends on how methodical you're talking about. I mean, the standard shower, I always figure, you know, now that we're finally getting the hang of it, we always try to figure one extra panel. Now, if it's a book match, we kind of have to make that call if we bring two extra panels in, or if we bring one extra A or one extra B in, one of those, depending on what layout is. So, you know, you really got to account for that. And I prep my customers with that. And for instance, on the job that we're starting next week, we only need 5.5 panels for the back feature wall, but the customer bought 7 because we're under a time crunch. And he understands if we had to wait for another panel, we could wait up to 14 days for it to get from, you know, Daltile, Tennessee to Kansas City, Daltile. So it's one of those things. He bought extra, knowing that he would have it left over, but he also has a basement that he's going to be finishing that he would use whatever's left over. We would incorporate it down there when it comes time for finish. Mm-hmm. So he's not too worried about spending, you know, $2,700 extra, mm-hmm. just to make sure we can finish the job, you know, the first phase of it. Yeah. So, you know, it's one of those things. It's nice when you can have a customer that can do that.
Right.
So it's fortunate. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah. We're just to remind everybody, some of you are just hopping in, giving suggestions on prices and stuff with the big box stores. We're actually talking about thin panels, gauge panels here. So I don't know of any big box stores that are selling like exotropic thin sets or anything like that. I probably butchered that word, but I would say, like, you know, that's kind of this whole topic is thin panel, gauge panel. Let's actually share some pictures here so people can know what we're talking about. So this is actually the job Adam was on today, correct?
Yeah, that is. And it's, we're using 6mm Neolith, which it has a mesh back. It's a product out of Spain.
Okay. Okay. And so you can see, what is this, like 5x10, 4x8, roughly?
That piece, it's 6.5 foot tall, and roughly, oh, that's probably 65 inches close to it. No, 56 inches, probably 56 inches
56
wide. Yeah. And if so, I were to guess right.
Were these cuts made on site or?
No, that was all done on the water jet. And those two long ones are niches that are all mitered, and they're rounded over in the corners, and we'll finish the miter once it's in. So that's an installed picture of that. So it's all mitered and they hit everything, you know, spot on, because I was able to meet the templater there when he templated it. So he was able to give them all my offsets and then the required expansion that's required for this stuff. So we, you know, it was a good thing that I was there to be able to communicate what I needed.
Yeah.
Because they definitely, you know, you got to kind of coach them into what you need. Mm. And then once they know it, they have it programmed in there and it's done. But we'll finish the rest of the miters and take the radius down a little bit smaller, just so we can get a good clean return miter in there.
Just polish them up on after it's installed.
Yeah.
And then this was, this is basically what you got done today, correct?
Yeah, I got those two pieces done, and there was another piece on the other wall.
Okay.
Where that level's going. It's the bench wall or the two supports. And I didn't know if I took a picture of that or not, but, we got that one done as well. And that allowed the templater to come this evening and template the walls to the side of it. So he'll write a program tonight, and then they'll send it to the water jet in the morning and cut me two more pieces.
Oh, really? And then you'll grab them in the morning?
No, they'll actually deliver them, because we didn't get everything installed that we wanted to today. So they're going to deliver probably five pieces out tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And so then we'll basically be able to finish up, and then they'll measure the rest.
And so we've got a couple of videos here. I wanted to start with this one right here. If you're listening to this on the podcast, in the future, you might want to head over to YouTube. I love this. You know, Adam's got a beautiful trailer. What is this, 7x14?
Yeah, it is.
Exactly. That's the size I had, and you're going to need it. And then I just love how efficient he is getting out of this trailer. Look at this. And what I love about a new product like this, GPTP, and the way Adam's approaching this product is very methodical. He's got a three-man crew. I mean, that's kind of the minimum you're going to need or want, really. You could probably, you know, really strain yourself with two and get it done, as they say. But really, when we approach a product like this as entrepreneurs, we really have to take into consideration, like, what is it really going to take, and look to the experts. That's what Adam's done here. He's looked to the experts. He's asked a lot of questions. He's done a lot of research. He's done some training. We're going to get into that. And he's come up with a system that works for him. He's comfortable with, and that's why he's saying charge a lot, because this is a very high end product. You want to do it professionally. You want to do it precisely. You want to have the tools and the partnerships, and it all, if you can pull all that off and pull something like this together, you're very valuable to the type of people who want this. It's not everybody who can just go around and do this kind of work. I mean, look at them setting up, you know, these tables and stuff. And you know, you can share with us, if you like, the cost of some of these tools. Well,
so that's one of those things. I'll tell you, I was fortunate in the tooling side of it, because when I first looked into getting it, I had linked up with a lot of the fabricators, and it was with Phil McKay. I was talking to him, and I told him what I was looking for, and he was a ETM dealer at the time. And I said, hey, price me this. And on the Stone Fabricator Alliance buy sell trade group, there was a full set of ETM tools for sale for $5,000.
Nice.
So, and that's basically, I bought $32,000 worth of tools for $5,000.
Whoa.
And that got me into it. That was one of those things, you know, a fabricator got into it, did a couple decked-in jobs and failed. Mm-hmm. So, and that's one of those things. And we can talk about decked-in. It's a whole nother animal compared to other thin panels. It's one of the hardest, I think, out there to handle for a lot of people. But it's just fragile. And so they got out of it. I got the tools really cheap. And I've upgraded with, after doing jobs, you know, take some of the profits and buy new tools basically, and just reinvest in that until what I got now. So, And I still use some of the stuff that I bought then, just because like the tables, they're spot on. I think the ETM table personally is the best one out there as far as like the structure. It's a really solid table. Once you get used to putting it together and tearing it down, and I have a pretty good system. We leave it together, you know, we take it apart in half. So it's basically, you know, just two halves. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to take the back pieces on and off and mess with all that. So we got really efficient at that. And that's about spot on. And then I use the ETM slide, which it's small, but it's pretty good and rigid. And it's good for moving smaller panels around that aren't full 5x10s. For the 5x10s with 6 mil and up, me and the guys have gotten really confident with moving them with just suction cups. Mm-hmm. And that's one of those things as you start handling the materials, you'll start getting more confident and stuff and just understand how to move it. And I worked with a glazer, a glass guy, but he turned tile guy out of Kansas City on a panel job. And he was telling me, you know, before they cut glass down, it's full big sheets and they're 2 foot longer and 1.5 feet wider than what thin panel is. And it's essentially more fragile than thin panel and it's 1/4 inch plate glass. And he's like, two guys with just 8 inch suction cups, just walk around, you know, no problem. Mm-hmm. And kind of learned a little bit of the handling stuff from him, more of it than just what we learned, because it was always one of those things we really always like, oh, it's fragile, you just got to be careful with it. But you know, once you learn how to use it and just, it's like anything, you know.
Yeah, proceed with caution, I would say. And then it sounds like once you're getting comfortable with it, I mean, you're gonna kind of know the limits. But honestly, we're gonna watch a video of them handling this stuff and you'll see what we're talking about. But from what I'm understanding is you know, this could be actually pretty dangerous. If you're, you know, don't just go in there with some cheap suction cups, cups. I mean, we've got three questions. Let's handle this one first. As long as we're talking about tools, Chris wants to know. So Chris is a contractor who has a potential job. He doesn't have any tools. He's never did it, but the contractor said, I have the budget for it. Just tell me what it costs. So let's say Chris, can you let us know what your job is? Let's just say it's a couple panels, you know, until he lets us know. But, what are the basic tools he's going to want to look for?
So, you know, it depends on how he wants to handle it as far as like, is he going to, you know, fab it on site? If you're going to fab it on site, the biggest thing is enclosed trailer. And what I did was I bought the biggest fabricator rack that I could. And then I extended it. I put two layers of 3/4 inch plywood on it and made it long enough to hold a full large panel, a 63x126, which is probably the largest I would handle. So it holds that, and it's closed air, and you don't want, you know, to put it on an open air frame because wind vibration will break these panels. Just going down the road, I lost a couple panels, and I've learned the hard way, but it was one of those things. We still were able to, you know, salvage some of them, even though they're broken. So it was, you know, it was just a hard learning experience. So no open air trailers, a good fabricator rack, and then you need a handling system. So my go-to right now for large panels is the panel handler. And it's a fabricator made a handling system because fabricators were having a lot of failures moving it on and off their saws. They're breaking stuff, you know, this, that, and the other. So he learned that everybody needed something really rigid. So he made something, and it's a really good system. It's, you know, about, I want to say $3,300 once it's all shipped to you and whatnot. So that was an investment, but I used my ETM grip at first, but the clip cups aren't good enough for 8 mil. And I was doing decking at first, and I learned that it was just too big, too heavy of a piece for those cups. But so we upgraded to that for our bigger handling system. The ETM slide is a really good, easy one. You know, the Monolith Super Sticks, I like them. And the Monolith table is really good. They're pricey. you know, for most guys getting into it, it can be an initial investment of $6,000-$7,000, you know, for good stuff. And if that's just your score snap stuff, I would definitely buy a monolith flash line. It's probably the best and most versatile cutter out there. Because you can break it down quick. It stores in its own pouch. It comes with all that stuff that you need. So that would be the cutter I would recommend. But other than that, I mean, it's really the trailer, the handling system, the right trowels, suction cups, and the vacuum cups, the Grabo ones that a lot of guys are using, even tile guys are using them on large tiles.
Those cups
are really valuable. You got to be careful with some of the really thin stuff, the 3.5 millimeter and 4 millimeter stuff. We've broken some just because the suction is so strong. Because if you leave that constantly, the vacuum constantly running, it's just constantly putting pressure on it. So we've actually seen failures as far as just it breaking. So 6 mil and up or 5.5 mil and up, they're pretty durable on. So I wouldn't worry about that, leaving them running. And that's what we did in that video. Every time we had the panel handler on those panels, we left the cups running just to keep everything really rigid. So, and that's what you need is rigidity when it comes to those, because that window piece, which I'll send you the picture so you can post it. That window piece, it's only 4.5 inches on both sides. And
Chris, I would consider what Adam's telling you here about partnering with a water jet company. I mean, if it's a one-off job and you want to maybe save some tools, save some money and kind of test the water, so to speak, tell your contractor, hey, let's have a water jet company cut this. You know, you could get some polishing tools, you could get some minor stuff to make some minor adjustments. But really, like Mike or like Adam did here, I mean, I think that's a great idea. And then for that matter, you know, you could rent a enclosed trailer if you didn't have one. So there's ways to, you know, kind of get your feet wet on the first job, I think, and see if this is something you want to get into.
Yeah, most definitely. And the other thing that he could also do is, like, depending on the panels that he's buying, sometimes you have to buy the A-frame. So I know, like, Stone Peak, if you buy from a distributor, they're gonna charge you for an A-frame. So that's your A-frame. So sometimes they have a one just laying there. So you can take that A-frame, put it in a trailer, screw it down to the floor, make it secure. You don't have to go buy one. Mm-hmm. You can use one of those because ultimately you bought it. And since it's an A-frame, the one thing that you can do is, depending on what size the pieces are, you can actually use the A-frame after you cut it down on the table to lay it back down on the A-frame to trowel it before you carry it in to put it on the wall. So you don't need no special, you know, if they're small enough to where you can handle it with just cups, but you should still have a handling rack to get it in and out of the trailer to a table, mm-hmm. you know, honestly. Yeah. So
nice. All right. Shima's got a question here. So he's got a two panel job. It's a fireplace. $40 a foot isn't even enough to replace the two panels. So what would you charge?
So, and that's where there's a fireplace and I'm getting ready to do it. I'm charging $65 a square foot for it. And we're buying five panels and it's a four panel job. So that's pretty reasonable for that, but we're also doing a book match. So there's a little bit more involved into that, but as far as Mike's, I would start at $65 a foot is where I would be. It's a two panel job. You're going to have to set up and mobilize and you're going to be there for 3 days, mm-hmm. you know, minimum. And you might come back a fourth day to do your grouting. So you got to make a nickel on everything that you're using for the job. So your materials, everything. So put markup on it all. But as far as the materials, for instance, the panel job that I'm doing next week, the 12 mil porcelain is costing me $17.95 a square foot, and I'm charging $34 a square foot. So I'm making almost double.
100%.
So I make it. Yeah, I mean, it's like maybe a 90%, 87 to 90% markup, but it's one of those things. I'm making money there. I think there's on the breakdown that I did, it was I was making close to $6,000 on that job and just materials. So that almost pays for a panel, you know, a panel and a half, two panels, really. I mean, they're, about $700 a piece for these ones. So, you know, they're replaceable.
Yeah.
So, and you still make money if you're charging for everything. You know, I'm charging for rental on that job. I'm charging, you know, every last thing.
Yeah.
So,
and then Christopher says, what's your percentage of GPT jobs compared to regular tile jobs?
As of right now, I mean, that's all we've really been doing, in between doing other flooring work, because we still dabble with some other stuff outside of the tile world and thin panel world. So, you know, we take a break every now and then, but I've been steadily working on thin panel jobs now for about 5 months, off and on, at least once a month. So it's been really, really good. And the market's starting to grow. Mm-hmm. So it's been pretty cool.
So Chris appreciated that info. He's already got a trailer, an A-frame, granite stuff. So he's just asking you for a link for that panel handler after the thing. So we can find that, Chris, for you for sure.
Yeah.
I think this is Brian from San Diego. He's talking about, like, you know, 5,000 square foot of flooring, 3,000 square foot of vertical walls and pricing that job. I mean, that would be a whole nother animal, Brian. You're right. Like, the price for that is obviously, you know, you're making it up on volume. So, I mean, you know, you're talking about a two panel job versus a, you know, versus a 100 panel job. Like, so,
And that's one of those things. So, and we can talk a little bit about that, because I got a couple big jobs coming up, and that's the one next month. And we're laying 2-foot by 4-foot tiles. So it's, you know, it's still large enough. You can call it thin panel. It's not, but, it's definitely large tile. The next facility that we're doing for this company is going to be decked in and dull tile panoramic, and it's all thin gauge porcelain. And that one, it's a by volume pricing. It's, you can't bid it like a residential job by, you know, no means. And then even if that job that he's talking about is a residential job, you're still going to have to go in it with a volume pricing mentality. And cause you're going to be there for, you know, a job like that, you'll be there for 6 months just with prep and setting and grout. So it's one of those things, and everything has to be spot on. So if, you know, if it's mud walls, if it's, you know, it's, there's just a lot that goes into that. So it would be a lot of thought process. And
Brian's been around forever. I mean, he's obviously, you know, knows tile. Yeah. He's a California contractor, and, you know, I think the point we're trying to make here is each job is different, but, and then the materials too, like you mentioned, is it thick? Is it thin? So we're getting a lot of feedback here. A lot of good info. Classes. All right. So let's move on to the training, to the classes. So Chris, pretty much everybody, I know Tech, I don't know where you're at in the country, but I know Tech has been doing some classes, I think in the North Midwest area, or North Carolina, maybe. I know Artix does some classes. I know everybody's kind of topsy turvy right now with this COVID thing. So Adam and Mike Shima actually just put on, or I guess it was Mike Shima put it on, but you were there kind of doing the demonstrations, right, Adam?
Yeah. So it was one of those things, me and Mike talked about it a couple months ago, and he was like, you know, I'm getting a shop. I'd want to start handling, you know, some trainings here. And I said, let's do something thin panel. You know, if you can get some panels from local distributors, you know, donated to us, which that's a whole, you know, story in its own.
Right.
But we ended up getting some panels and doing some really good training, and we covered a lot of ground from prep, pricing, tools. Everybody was able to see my tools. And then Craig was there from Gunlock doing the monolith tools. So we got to see everything, and we even did mitering, and you know, we wrapped a corner with some polished Taj Mahal 6mm. So it turned out great. And I think we had a great turnout. There was a lot of reps there, but there's also a lot of installers there as well. So I think a lot of guys learned enough. And, there was one guy there out of, I can't remember his name, Mark, I think it was, he was out of, Columbia, Missouri. And he got his hands on everything from drilling, cutting, you know, and really got into it. And that's the type of confidence you need to go into it, because you don't want to, you know, tiptoe around this stuff. You want to learn to handle it. And at training, that's where you should. You want to make your mistakes in training. So it's like I urged everyone to touch it, to feel it and move it. You know, it was one of those things.
Yeah. And I love this idea of just tile guys, you know, getting together and doing some training on their own and inviting their reps, inviting their, you know, inviting whoever they know. We've got to lean on each other, especially right now. I mean, let's just, you know, do what we feel comfortable doing when some of these larger companies, you know, kind of have to follow the status quo as far as, you know, masks and, you know, virtual stuff. There's only so much you can do virtually. I did want to say, like, I know the NTCA has some virtual stuff. I'm not sure if they have any thin panel virtual stuff going on right now. I know they had to cancel pretty much all their hands-on stuff, but there are some companies doing it. Chris, so I would check that out. And Joseph says, yeah, that was Brian. Yeah. Brian's, you know, definitely a skilled mechanic, somebody who's been around, and he's very helpful in the groups as far as, you know, sharing his knowledge for sure. All right. So this person brings up, you got a side hustle making mosaic tile art that is real dope. Is that true, Adam?
Yeah, no, I did a couple things. We had some mosaics done. I was working with Aaron on those, and we got some stuff done. It was pretty cool. So
nice.
Yeah.
Well, that again, partnerships, you know, partnership with people who can get stuff like that. What's going on with the veteran builds? I'm not sure. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah, no, it does. You know, I try to donate my time to disabled veterans. I'm a veteran as myself. So did some time in the Army and did a couple tours to Iraq. So, you know, the guys that aren't getting the help that need the help, they don't know how to get it. So I reach out to guys every now and then, see what they need, even just locally. So help whenever I can.
That's so awesome, so, Adam.
Yeah.
Good thing there. Good for you. Guys, this is what I'm talking about. This is why I preach profitable businesses. This is why I preach, you know, really sustainable businesses. Because somebody like Adam, yeah, he's charging a lot. He's making a lot. He can go around and turn around. And us blue collar guys, we're some of the nicest people, guys and girls, that you'll ever meet. We're going to add to the communities that we live and work in. We're going to give back to the veterans. We're going to give back to the kids. We're going to donate time and money. You can't do that if you're living job to job. That's why we preach, keep your prices high, make sure you know your profit. I'm not talking about, none of us are, I mean, there's going to be a percentage of people who are going to spend their money on hookers and, you know, blow. I can't, you know, whatever. I can't do anything about that. But I'm going to say 90% of us are going to go out there and do the right thing. We're going to give back to the communities. We're going to do the right thing. That's why I'm talking. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to the people who are going to do that, you know. And so let's get into this handling of this stuff right now. I wanted to share this video because we'll see kind of how critical this, how slow they're moving and stuff like that.
Yeah. So this is the panel handler, and this is the, you know, it makes it really rigid. And what it is it was some aluminum framing water jetted out. Eric at Estonia, he also owns Philichip. He designed this, and it's nothing but box aluminum, some grabos and, you know, his cutout of this material, and it makes it super rigid. And now you can see that Steven in the back, he has a vacuum pump up cup, and that's what I have too on the front. And that's what we're using to handle it. Basically, that's our carrying handles. Even though we could grab it with the grabos or that, I just don't want to disturb the rigidity of that system. So just carrying it with an independent cup like that is pretty.
Okay, so the system comes with cups. It looks like you have six cups on this panel, right?
Six vacuum cups and then two hand
cups. Independent
cups. Yeah.
So, I mean, you're talking about a 61 inch by, what did you say, 6.5 feet tall?
Yeah, that one's about 6.5 foot tall.
So, you're talking about 70 by 60, you know, panel. Did I get that right? So, you've got, I mean, with already like two huge cuts in this thing, I mean, that's why, you know, you've really got to, when we showed what Adam got done, and I think we'll try to show another picture, but that's why you've really got to move slow and meticulous with this stuff.
Yeah. And this, you know, it is really fragile, but the thing is, and that's knowing what the tolerances are with the materials, and then what we have to do just by, you know, handling this stuff. And even when we fabricate it, we still have to have round corners and all those cuts. Now, the miters is, you know, a touchy subject for some things, because there really isn't a proper way to do miters with this stuff yet. It's still a learning curve. You know, some people want to say metal, some people say this, that. So this will be a quirk miter, and it'll be filled in with a flexible epoxy, which we'll go into that. Maybe I'll post some pictures when we're done with it, but it's basically the Roberto Colonetti method. And it hides that joint. But so what we're doing here is because of how we can use the system. It's so rigid, I'm able to pick the panel up just right there in the middle, and there's no flex. So, and that's one of the things with this system, that we set the bars at an eighth inch below the panel to give us our expansion at the bottom. So we were able to, once we were able to finagle it and get it into the shower after we mudded it, it would just sit right in place.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, I'm gonna stop that one because we saw that video. I'll try to find this other picture that you shared with us. So this obviously, you know, 6 mil, very thin porcelain. You mentioned Robert Colonetti. He had some training. I know he was coming through the United States. He came close to me, but I wasn't able to make it. But you chose to go to his training, and that's kind of where you learned the system that you're using for miters.
Well, yeah, no, I conducted part of the training there. We did a shower system installation just to show that. And then the installation of thin panel, we used on that one, we used some Artex material, some Bosti set, and then some Latticrete on that demo. So we did that alongside of what he was doing, but we were able to watch and learn it. And the fabricator shopper that was is the same one that I'm doing this work for here. So he actually supplies the epoxies. So I've done a little bit more training than the average person, learning and working side by side with them. Mm-hmm. So we've been able to pick it up. We've been fortunate on that side of it. Mm-hmm. So it's almost free training for us, and just kind of learning that way. And it's been a big learning curve, and now I'm able to help other tile guys with fabricators and talk to them and figure out how they can work out that relationship. Cause I think it's one of the biggest parts of what this trade is becoming is that partnership, because I'm getting paid, you know, pretty good, not a full $45 a foot, but I have nothing tied to these panels. Okay. They're paying for the materials, they're paying for everything. And if I break a panel, they just cut another one, bring one out to me. Mm-hmm. So I don't have any replacement costs. So I'm able to do it a little bit cheaper. Mm-hmm. And that's that relationship. And you have to negotiate that. That's part of that negotiating that you have to do. But now if I want to, and one of the things that I want to do is I want to buy my own laser so I can start shooting my own jobs and virtually have him cut them for me, or another fabricator, once if I ever find one in Kansas City that I feel confident in using to do it, I would. But like, I can send them a file, fix it in CAD, or let them fix it in CAD, and then they cut it, and I just drive 3 hours, pick up my material, and go back home, and it's all done, and I make minor adjustments, and it saves me a bunch of time. So that's going to be something we're going to try out at my own house. We just bought a new house, so we're going to do a lot of thin panel in it. So we're going to see how that works.
So you're talking about a layout laser.
Template laser. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. And there, I mean, those, you can pick up a used 2D one, which most guys would want a 3D one for, you know, $7,000. But then you can also probably find them for, you know, a used 3D one for about 15 to 17. Mm-hmm. So there's, but you know, I buy all my equipment used. So it's one of those things, if it comes with a factory like warranty, you know, and I can buy it used, I'd rather just get it used. And it's you save money with the same warranty. So it's, why not?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah. Buy wisely for sure.
Yeah.
Chris
yeah.
Conley asks, are you guys, is Mike Shima still here? I don't know. Are you guys planning another training anytime soon? I hope so.
Not there. There's some other things that are in the works that will come about, maybe later this year. I'm working on some stuff with another partner, and we'll see what that, what that brings up. Okay. And, you know, it might be an invite only training. It's preferred contractor type thing. So we'll see what it's going to be. There's a lot of details still to work out on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, keep your eyes out for it, guys. And I would say, if you guys are still interested, Mike, good to see you. Mike's still here. All right. And we're going to start wrapping this up. So if anybody has any more questions, feel free to shout them out. And Adam, let me know, I'm looking over my list. We talked about relationships, handling tools, crew, water jet, and training.
Did we miss? I mean, we covered everything. And, you know, if you want to go over like that job that I shared on the Tile Money page, I can kind of go over a little bit of my pricing with that and what I kind of, why it's going to be such a good project if we're successful with it. I mean, because I'll potentially, after paying my help and everything, I'll potentially make, you know, $21,000 in a week and a half. And that's profit.
Yeah.
So there's a lot there, but I've made, you know, I'm making $6,000 on material, and then the work alone, we're at $55 and $65 a square foot. And I'm only charging actual square footage for installation. I'm not charging, you know, for handling all the panels. And a lot of people, that's one of those fights that I have with a lot of people. You know, it's like the tile guy that leaves a box of 12 by 24s in the basement. Is he charging for that whole box for installing it and just throwing it in the basement? You know, it's one of those things. It's kind of a morals thing.
Sure.
That, you know, I'm only charging when I'm installing, even though I'm going to handle the whole panel. You know, it's a count. It's just one of those things. It makes it right, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. Very cool. And Mike says he is going to plan on other workshops. So very cool.
Yeah.
Did you want me to pull up that job in Tile Money?
Which one? Yeah.
The one you were just talking about?
Yeah. If you want to pull it up, I think I posted everything on there. But it's one of those things where we're doing it by volume. I made really good money on prep, and I also bought a shop blaster and a big HEPA vac. So it was one of those things, you know, I found some used equipment again, had 10 hours on it, virtually brand new.
Wow.
And we put 50 some hours on it, but we were charging, you know, $1 a square foot to shop blast. I paid $6,000 for the machines, and we shop blasted 5,300 feet. So, you know, we got another 7,000 foot to do in this building. So that machine's paid for, and it's making money because it only costs 3 cents a square foot to run it. So, I mean, it's when you figure out cost by square foot, that's 97 cents a square foot, you know, before Uncle Sam gets his cut. So it's one of those things that's pretty good money.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah,
for sure.
Well, so we're trying to do that value add service to where we're doing all prep in house. So we're just doing surface prep and then on, even though in some of the manuals it says it's to be performed by others, but if we become the expert in it, then we can sell it, and then once you have the equipment paid for, it's nothing but money.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's one of those things, and we actually are going to do more prep than just for tile. So it's a lot of value. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, definitely. So what are your plans? Are you looking to kind of scale this? I know you mentioned earlier you want to stay small, but I mean, all these plans, all the way your mind works,
it's one of those things. I can still remain very profitable staying small and having the relationships with other setters around the US to be able to bring them in on jobs and pay them well too. You know, we'll use Malcolm's theory. You know, I want everybody to make a dollar. I'm not here to get rich. Mm-hmm. And he said that, and it really made sense. If you can build a good team and use them at your disposal, you can still remain a small company and keep low overhead and just have that force, that army of guys that can come together, or gals, and come and do it, you know? So and that's one of the things, I'm going to invite some people when I do my personal house, because we're going to do a lot of porcelain. There's some people that asked, you know, I'd love to do a job. Well, the next one that I'll have a whole bunch of extra material on is my own personal house. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be an opportunity for some people to get some real hands-on job, you know, scope, you know, work, not some workshop, you know, everything goes great in a workshop, you know, so it's one of those things that'll be real life. So you always got to go ahead.
Is that this year or early next year?
Yeah, no. We close on our house on Monday. And so we'll basically all the guys there, and we'll be demoing, you know, the evening of the 25th and getting some other trades in there. And I think we'll be doing thin panel hopefully by November.
Yeah. So real soon. You know,
I want to be in by Christmas.
Yeah. You
know, that's one of those things. But making the money on these thin panel jobs has afforded me to be able to say, okay, I can take off 2 weeks, keep the guys on, pay them. And we've been really fortunate through the whole COVID thing. I've taken 14 work days off, and that was just recently. And we still worked a lot of Saturdays and some Sundays. So I have not took my foot off the gas since this, like, just let's go.
Yeah.
So it's been really fortunate. We've been really lucky.
Yeah. So, good for you, man. Well, I'm down for joining you in November. I'd like to come do some on-site filming, some live streaming. And I know how to mix grout. I've got a paddle mixer in the garage. And Giuseppe says he's down traveling Joe. So that would be killer. Really hope I can get the invite to that. One more question, and then we're going to wrap this up. I want to let you get on with your evening here. Joseph Lambert asks, you know, so let's see what he was saying. It was a panel, I guess, 5 by 2.5 foot. Another installer was saying that he would do it for $5 a square foot.
No, that's not good. That's sickening. That's, you know, 12 by 24s I do for $12.50 a square foot on floors. So like I'm not even in the realm with that. Like, that guy shouldn't be doing it. There's no money in it. There's no money to be made there, because a good thin set, depending on what you're using, you could be $1 a foot by the time you're done with prep.
Right.
You know, so at $5 a foot, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
So
unfortunately, Joseph, you know, lives in an area that it's just one of those areas. Tilers are really doing things very, very cheap. There's no other way to put it. And, Joseph's an installer, a mechanic who can go very quickly. And that's how, you know, it gets done. My only advice, if you find yourself in that situation, like Joseph, consider some of these relationships that we're building, you know, consider doing a little bit of traveling, a little bit of, you know, expanding maybe, you know, where you're working. Or, you know, I always preach remodel work. You know, Joseph says he agrees, it's just too cheap. So Shima's in for November. Giuseppe's in, I'm in. All right, Adam. Well, listen, I really appreciate your time and sharing your knowledge. And I always look forward to continuing to see your progress. You're doing great stuff, man.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. And it's, you know, and it's I've grown a lot since your group has started. You know, Christian Blanchard invited to me, you know, right off the rip. And it's, you know, I listened to the core stuff at the beginning and it picked on, you know, just gone through and listened to what I wanted. And it's can help me continue to grow. It's helped me on my other side. You know, I can still put the same principles to the other flooring aspects of my job, because all those sides of the flooring require the same amount of prep tile does. Mm. You just gotta understand that prep and be able to sell it. You know, and that's one of those things. I think there's a lot of money in prep, and once you're there, it's everything else flies, you know, and then it's easy money. And then you always have a speed bump in the road. You're always going to have a hiccup. You're always going to break something and you're going to have to, you know, replace it. But that's why, you account for all that stuff in your bid, you know, depreciation, tools, wear, tear, you know, and that's the accounting side of it, you know? So,
but that's awesome, man. Well, Adam, I'm going to let you go. I appreciate you. Appreciate everything you're doing and sharing, and looking forward to, you know, hopefully I can come up there and work with you one day. That'd be really cool.
But I'd appreciate it. I'll even pay you a nickel or two.
That'd be cool, man. Two nickels. All right, man. Have a good night.
All right, man. We'll talk.
All right, friends. Well, that was a great interview with Adam. I really appreciate his being willing to share. And that's pretty much it for this episode. Look, this is a subject I'm not going to let up on. I really think we need to shed more light on the business of GPTP, and also, you know, work with some of these companies that are training, doing some of these online training like Ardex, Laticrete, you know, Tech. A lot of these companies, the NTCA, you know, they're going to get back into this here in 2021 with the on-site training. I mean, a lot of that stuff has just been, you know, taken off the road, unfortunately. But it's nice we have guys like Adam willing to share their knowledge. And before I jump off here, I just want to thank one of my patrons. You can become a patron if you're in a position to support Tile Money financially. Richard Waite is a patron, and he's giving a monthly donation. Thank you, Richard. You're very generous. I appreciate your support, and I appreciate all my patrons. I'm going to be thanking one a week. And I just it's my pleasure. I'm humbled to be helping so many people with this podcast, with this Facebook group. And listen, if we missed something, if we didn't talk about it, let me know. Let me know if you have a unique job in the future. Like I say, probably in 2021, but maybe sooner, I'm going to be going on some job site visits and actually doing some live streaming and some in-depth kind of, you know, interviews like this right on the job site. That way we can really get our hands dirty and see what's going on and get up close and personal. So, all right, friends. Well, that's it for me. As always, I encourage you to stay profitable out there. Know your numbers. Know what you're worth. Know that not everybody can do what you're doing. If you're a good tile installer, you are valuable. There's so many hacks out there. We see so many failures. So if you're doing things correctly and you stand by your work, know that right now, August 18th, 2020, people are still stacking up work out there. Consumers are still spending a lot of money. They're not letting up, you know, they're not letting up. So we should not be lowering our prices right now. Save that for another day, long into the future, let's hope. But for now, let's keep our prices high. Let's keep going with this, friends, and stay profitable. I'll talk to you soon.